Oh, stop it.
This is Tall Can Audio.
Your Thursday dose of Tall Can Audio. Matt Robinson, Lever Sage in the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. What's happening, man?
Always good to be back, as it's about a million degrees outside.
Yeah.
You have what I would call, at other times, mood lighting in here, but just keeping the lights down because of the heat, good idea.
I actually just forgot to turn the second bank of lights on, that's all.
I was going
to
say, and you know, I can't see you, you can't see me as well. It all works out, right?
Yeah.
We can hear each other.
That's really all that matters. The good listener can't see either one of us. So they have no idea that we're down to just our undies here and trying to sweat it out.
Visual and a thought.
That's the way things go in this studio, folks. I don't know what you expected, but when it gets a little warm.
It is warm. It was.
I know you're not a Simpsons guy, but there's a shot of Chief Wiggum and Dr. Hibbert sitting together in just their undies on a stool at Moe's Bar that comes to mind at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's funny.
Yeah.
I say, if it feels good, do it.
All right.
Don't snap my undies.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Lever?
What's on my mind? Yeah. I'm, first of all, excited to
That's true. You've been saying you're thirsty. You're ready for a pint here.
You've
had a hard day.
It's not the greatest time for the AC to be gone in the car. And it's not one of those before people, you know, text in or whatever they do to get a hold of you. They don't have to say, well, you can just go get a spray on the AC and it costs like $150. No, I went to do that. And they're like, no.
No.
This is going to be
beyond that.
This is going to be about $1,500, $1,600 before tax. And quite honestly, at 342,000 clicks on the car, hey, the car is, knock on wood.
Yeah.
You have some solid wood in here. Your mind is so dirty.
No, I was snorting at the, you've got some, the knock, the whole thing. I wasn't going there. We're okay.
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 For now.
Yeah. For now. No. Yeah.
In our undies.
Right.
Right.
We haven't even started years.
But it's just not worth it.
It wasn't. You had to take a look at that and just kind of go.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on a day like today.
Here, take my money.
It's a bit of a steamer today. Not the greatest day for that. But yeah. I'm a big, and I don't know how you feel about this. I complain.
I know.
I should just stop, right? Period. I complain. Period. I complain in the winter. I don't like the cold. I don't like
the snow. Did you not just give me shit a week ago for this? You can't complain in the summer about how hot it is if you complain about how
That's
cold
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to tell you again is I don't care that I lost 5 pounds on the way over here. I can't complain about it.
Yeah.
Because I complain in the winter.
Okay.
Look at you listening to me.
I know. Wow. Look at that. Were you happy with my Lever texted today to say he was on his way over?
Can I
gave
read
him,
it?
Sure, because I gave him more than the K. I'm an attentive guy. When Lee tells me he's not happy with the way I've done something, I'll try and clean it up. I'll try and do better the next time. And I think I did do better.
I said, leaving Stittsville in 5, I'll be there between 4 and 4:15.
Yeah.
Just to give you a bit of an update, like we had scheduled around 4.
And so I typed K.
Nope.
But then I hit backspace.
Oh, okay. Because you didn't.
No, didn't.
Dearest Lee. My heart soars with joy to learn of your imminent impending arrival on time. I am deeply gratified that you've taken the time and effort to keep me abreast of these developments. I await your presence with tremendous anticipation. All the best, Matthew G. Robinson.
Yeah.
What's the G stand for?
Gordon.
Grateful. Matthew Gordon.
Oh, I heard that bellowed down the stairs to the basement a few times
Matthew
as a child.
Matthew Gordon!
Matthew Gordon. Yeah. Matthew mostly, but if you get middle names, like any kid, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in for it. So that was more to your liking. That's what you're looking for.
No, that's the standard. That's the baseline of what is to come.
Okay.
That is now what is expected.
Mm-hmm.
going forward. So you've set a good precedent.
Yeah.
It must be followed.
Stand by
through
for the middle finger emoji from now on. Let's have the beer, because I know you're calling out for it. You've had the warm drive over. You've had the long day. Let's have a pint.
Yes. And what you've done is you've provided the first one from Overflow.
Overflow.
Forge Ahead.
Yeah.
Dry hopped amber.
I'm fascinated by that. The dry hopped amber.
So taste, full flavored amber ale, aroma, evergreen, citrus, caramel, and roasted nuts. Hops, T45 Cascade, Centennial, and Magnum. Anytime something's described as Magnum, it just feels better.
Like it's going to be too big for me. Sorry.
No, we assume that. Okay. I don't know why you're laughing. We assume that that's true. And the IBU is 25 on this.
Yeah. It's the dry hopped part that's interesting to me, because I've had many, many, many dry hopped IPAs. I'm not sure I've ever seen a dry hopped amber before. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. On my first pull, not getting a ton of the citrus, but just about everything else. Now, when you're someone like, you've had enough craft beers like me, when they list the hops, do you know the difference? You're like, oh, I really like that hop. I like when they do stuff with that hop. I'm not that guy either.
And I'm not that guy particularly, because I'm not a big IPA guy and not a big hop guy.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're not a bit. You don't love the really hoppy stuff to begin with. Fair enough.
And so this tastes to me like in the summer. Sometimes you describe things like in the summer, if it's light and refreshing.
Yeah.
For me, I am very thirsty today.
Yes.
And this is satisfying that.
Okay.
That quench.
This is perfect to sit around in front of a microphone in your underwear and drink while you talk stupid.
I'm just going to put it down on the solid wood. It's right here. Yes. So, but it is a bit hoppy.
Yes, it is.
For me, for a regular beer.
Certainly
amber.
Hoppier than an amber.
It tastes like an IPA.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah.
But I don't drink. I'm not a connoisseur on the IPAs, because I just don't drink enough of them.
To me, I'm sort of with you. It's headed in the IPA direction, but stopping just short of that. But it doesn't really taste like an amber. Now, neither one of us poured it out. We're just drinking from the can like a couple of savages in here, and that's fine. But it tastes closer to an IPA, I would agree, than to an amber. I'm sure it's amber-colored. But it's got to be that dry hop.
The can's kind of amber-colored, so it must be amber-colored.
Overflow wouldn't lie to us. They have no reason to do that. So that's what we're starting with today. I think it was a 4.2%, I believe, on this one. I could be wrong.
4.3.
Okay. Whatever.
Listen.
It matters.
0.1%. I need it all right now.
I'm curious, man. Let's start here, because I feel like it's been...
I'm pumped up.
Yeah, all right. It feels like it's been neglected on this show a little bit. Let's start with the fact that this is week one in the CFL. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's probably been a little bit neglected around here is we're still a week away from the Red Blacks getting to play their first game. But the rest of the country's getting fired up. You've got, on Thursday, a rematch of the Grey Cup between Montreal and Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Friday, you're going to see Calgary and Hamilton. That leaves BC and, Toronto.
Toronto.
And on Saturday night, you're going to have... Oh, that game actually got moved for obvious reasons. The Edmonton Elks and Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Probably a good idea that got bumped up in the afternoon.
There's
other things going on in Edmonton. They're going to have people's attention. So smart for the Elks to do that. I'm sure they didn't see that coming when they scheduled the game initially. Maybe a little disrespect across town. I don't know. But even with the Red Blacks not getting up and running until next week, what's your anticipation level? Like, will you sit down for game one, Montreal, Winnipeg? Will you be geared into that?
No. So, I know you thought that maybe the answer would be yes, but a couple of things.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised a little.
Number one, I'm very excited to wake up on, what will it be? Like Sunday or Monday? for the Red Blacks to be in first place by themselves. I think that'll be really exciting after week one.
They'll still have no wins.
That's correct, but they'll be in first place by themselves because every other team in the East will have lost.
Okay. So there's your FanDuel ticket for the weekend. Oh. The West is walking all over the East.
Like they usually do.
Okay.
At the beginning of the season.
Yes.
And then we get to the end of the season, and then we pick Winnipeg every year in the Grey Cup, and then they choke every year. Like, they lose to Toronto, they lose to Winnipeg, or they lose to Montreal, they lose to everybody.
We've got a bit of a formula here.
But I am focusing a little bit more attention on the Red Blacks this year, and a little bit less. I mean, you do have the I know Dave Naylor wrote about it, the Sean Lemon case and, you know, the Chad Kelly case.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Argos are going to be without Chad Kelly. Like, it's they're without him for half a season. A lot of people expect Montreal to come back down to earth after what they accomplished last year. Like, it was
hardly a dynamo through this regular season.
No, they just caught fire and health and all of those things.
That's
right.
Full value. You're legit for that. But you're right. Like, there's no reason to suspect they're about to run the table here.
Or I don't look at their talent and go, oh, that's incredible.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I think with the Red Blacks off, my full attention will kind of start next week because some of the primetime players this week. And you got the Stanley Cup that's starting. It's kind of a weekend off when it comes to, you know, getting ready for some big events that are happening.
I think that's what's clearing space for me. You look at Thursday when the season's going to kick off. Jays are going to lose in the afternoon instead of in the evening. So that's going to clear some room.
Well, they will.
Yeah, thank you. Don't argue with me unless you've got an actual argument.
No, I don't. I have nothing.
And then no hockey till Saturday. Like, I got plenty of room Thursday and Friday for some CFL football. Would I be more pumped up if it was all like even if the Red Blacks weren't playing till Saturday, I'd probably still be like, okay, these are the appetizers, right? And watch Thursday, Friday. But even with the Red Blacks not playing at all this week, I'm ready for the season to start. And I think part of that is that the table has been cleared a little, gives a little room for the CFL to get up and going. I'm not always that way, right? You can accuse me pretty fairly in some previous years to be too zeroed in on just Ottawa and not following the rest of the league close enough. But I think this weekend, just the way the dates have fallen and the fact that Thursday night for Winnipeg, Montreal is going to be clear of anything else, and the fact I'll probably be frustrated by 7:45, 7:50 p.m. with the Jays on Friday, like, it's going to give me some room to watch some CFL football, man. I'm fired up. And maybe it's nothing more than an alternative to the Blue Jays.
Right, but you're not interested in the NBA Finals?
I'm not. I'm just really not an NBA guy.
So, like, I am.
Yeah.
Especially,
I need a hook, right?
Like, the Celtics have been so good.
That's not enough for me. I hate I hate everything Boston, honestly.
I do too, except for the Celtics. Like, the Celtics, to me, play the right way.
Yeah.
They do the right. They are the Raptors of years ago, but better. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, what I don't like in the NBA is that every game is 139 to 136, and nobody's playing defense, and it's just
running the floor.
And when I watch the Celtics, because I do love watching basketball,
right?
They play the right way. They defend so hard. They do things that other teams simply don't do. And that's what I always like kind of put into the Raptors, that they were a little bit different from other teams because they actually tried at the other end of the floor.
Well, because for a long time, they didn't have that real game breaker, right? They had DDR and he was great and Lowry was great, but like not someone who was likely to go out and drop 50 tonight, right? And so you had to play slightly different. And like, you can get me. There are storylines that can hook me for the, obviously the Raptors did hook the whole country, right, when they went on their run. But whether it was last year, the year before, I guess it was last year, Jamal Murray and that Canadian angle on it, that hooked me, right? I got time. I'll watch the Nuggets and see how that's all going to play out. Had SGA gone a little further, like after the summer he had playing for Team Canada, I would have watched that. There's just nothing grabbing me this time. And because basketball is probably, well, there's no probably about it. Out of the big four North American sports, it is my number four. And so when there's other things going on, I need something to grab me and pull me in.
So what's grabbing you for week one in the CFL, though?
It's it's
just
week
because
one.
It's week one.
It's the return. Yeah.
Right. So I can't say it's just the finals in the NBA.
I'm not casting aspersions or judgment on anyone who is going to watch it. It is somebody's championship. I get right. Most people will be watching it and will be tweeting about it. And when we get down to those last game or two where someone has a chance to win it, I probably will check in on it. But it's just not likely to be something I'm going to be each day sitting down going, I'm ready for 2.5 hours of basketball.
And that's
tonight.
Fair. Yeah. But when you say it's a rematch, Montreal, Winnipeg,
it's week one.
It literally kicks off at the exact same time the tip-off is
right
at 8:30 Eastern for the NBA Finals.
Right.
And I'm sorry. Like, I love the CFL, but I'm a little bit more focused on the Red Blacks.
Totally fine.
And I just don't care if Winnipeg,
it's not uncommon for the CFL fan to be in the minority, right? The one who's not watching something bigger in that moment.
I watch most.
Yeah.
More
I know you're
CFL
a fan.
Than most people. But
I'm not going to sit here and twist your arm and say, hey, come on, it's week one in the CFL. Yeah. Ignore the NBA Finals. No, I understand the NBA Finals are a big deal and your team isn't playing. So who gives a shit, right? Like, it's the other way. Right. I don't care about this particular
I have less of a hook this year for the CFL because, Montreal won, but I still don't think they're the best team. I actually hope Winnipeg goes 18-0 again and then loses or something.
It's good to have a villain that we all get to watch toppled at the
at the end. At the end, which is perfect for the Blue Bombers.
Sorry, Mario, your princess is in another castle.
But I finished the level.
Right. I just beat that fire-breathing fucker. What do you want from me?
So, I just don't. I'm going to focus in on what the Red Blacks are doing.
Yeah.
And I am very excited to watch them. I saw that the over-under. Have you seen this?
No.
What do you think the over-under is for the Red Blacks this year?
For wins?
Yeah. They play 18 games, right?
Yeah. 4.5.
So
they don't seem to have a whole lot of love for...
It's 5.5.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you're very close. Yeah. But I just can't believe... And maybe it's because I'm a little bit too close to the situation and I like some of the people.
Sure.
If you can't win 6 games this year, everyone's getting fired. Everyone. The GM and the head coach.
No, you're right about that.
If you can't win 6 games and... This team hasn't played a playoff game since 2018. There's just no way they are going to allow that to happen again. And maybe that's me being naive and just a little bit too...
To me, this is going to piss a lot of people off. And in this case, I beg you, Ottawa, to remember, I'm on your side in this one. I don't think that's an unfair number. You got to show some... After years of being a 3-win team, you have... And coming in, I think... Well, I won't speak for you. I was happy with the Drew Brown acquisition. Of the guys that were available and that a lot of people believe this guy's ready to take that next step, cool. You went and got the guy. He has to show it. This team has to show it. And so, you look at that 5.5 and go, oh my God. But why would they put it any higher? Like, you're going to have to go out and... You're going to have to double your win total from last year. And I think that's doable. Like, I think it's on the table that this is a playoff team this year. Not a division winner.
Right. Well, 8 wins should get you in.
Right. So if you cross 5.5, you're suddenly in the neighborhood of a
And I think that number is low for a team. I'm actually...
So you think that number is disrespectful to this group?
No, it's probably bang on when it comes to what this team has previously done.
Yeah.
I just...
Like, what did they get Dominic Brown to bring him back?
The
like
CFL changes Drew over Brown. So
oh,
much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That it doesn't...
There are wild swings
that,
in the CFL.
That numbers based on what you did last year and the year before simply don't mean anything. And I can tell you from a betting perspective, they really don't. This Vegas gets the CFL wrong. More often and by bigger margins than they do
any other
big sport. And look, if you want to come at me with they don't get volleyball right, like, sure. But
the Japanese baseball.
I'm talking about the NFL and the NHL and the NBA and Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
They don't miss big often. They miss big in the CFL all the time.
Sure.
Because they simply just don't know enough about the
players. But it's also possible you and I are just being overly optimistic. outside of this market, there's a lot of people going, I don't know, Ottawa, we'll see, right? Like, it's been bad for a while.
The Argos' starting quarterback is not playing for the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. Bo Levi Mitchell, I think, is 100. And and he's not very good anyway anymore.
No.
For Hamilton.
Yep.
And I'm reading stories, oh, Bo Levi Mitchell fired up to go back to Calgary. Like, thanks for the same storyline for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, my whole point is, you're right. I could be biased towards knowing way more about the Ottawa situation than I do other teams in the CFL.
Right.
But I don't look around and go, there's a juggernaut, there's a juggernaut. No. And I look at Ottawa and I say they've made some improvements. Mm-hmm. And Sean Burke and Bob Dice and all of those people, like even some of the people that are above them, their jobs might be on the line. You can't continue to roll out 3-4 win teams.
No, this has been a disaster
in
for a while.
This market, and expect to be successful. And you're going to see some of the attendance figures at the beginning of the year.
Well, we talked about that last week, right? Yeah. I asked you with the introduction of the new Northern Super League, right? The women's soccer. Is this market starting to get a little overcrowded? And you said, no, not overcrowded, but it is getting more crowded. And people have more options now. Mm-hmm. You can go watch baseball. You can go watch men's or women's soccer. Like, there are other you can watch the Blackjacks. There are other things to do in the summer in the nation's capital that weren't here when the Red Blacks first arrived.
And just to go back to that discussion for a second, I don't think the market is overcrowded. What I do think is the market is more selective on what they are going to do and what they find exciting. What they've done here and the whole PWHL, but in Ottawa in particular, they've created a team that's going to be around for a very long time, mm-hmm. and they've created an excitement to go and watch a sporting event. And I don't know that some of the other events live up to that or will live up to that when it comes to whether it's the Titans, whether it's the Red Black Bears, whether it's – I know they're the Black Bears, folks, but I love calling them the Red Black Bears. I think that name is
– That's TCA trademark.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Second only to the one name change I would like to see more than any other name change in sports, that Minnesota should absolutely, I don't know, doesn't matter to me if it's the NFL or the NBA. The fact that somebody doesn't change that name to the Minnesota Purple Rain, I'm not even kidding.
I know.
Okay. I think it's an incredible name. Obviously Prince.
Yeah.
Was from there and is, you know, is a massive figure worldwide, but he comes.
There's a great line in that How I Met Your Mother show. Marshall is from Minnesota, and somebody asked him, I can't remember how the conversation was, what, there's no black people in Minnesota? He's like, not if Prince is on tour. Jeez. Purple Rain. Not just the Purple People Eaters. We're going all the way to the Purple Rain.
No, the Purple Rain.
Yeah.
You want to spell it R-E-I-G-N? Fine. Yeah. They're raining.
I like that.
Yeah, they're raining threes.
I got time for that.
They're raining. Sure.
And if you don't use it that way, it will be the cheese-eating headline anytime they win a championship.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Raptors are named after a goddamn dinosaur. No, but nobody cares. Right? Well, like, I don't care.
We care a little.
No, I don't care anymore because they're my team and I don't care what they are. I used to care.
Yeah.
And when people got all worked up about the Red Blacks.
Right.
Right. In a league that had two Rough Riders and 9 teams. Just, I go, okay.
You get used to it.
Right.
You get used to it.
The Purple Rain is the most incredible name ever. And I can't understand why one of the teams don't use it.
You're going to have to buy a pro franchise in Minnesota and do it yourself.
Okay, because the Timberwolves. Ooh, there's a lot of Timberwolves running around, are there?
I don't mind the Timberwolves. I mean, probably not downtown running around, but
you
there probably are some locally.
Actually, some Bears in Ashton the other day.
I like... How many of these teams, like the LA Lakers, there's not many lakes, but they moved from Minnesota, the land of 1,000 lakes, and so we'll just keep the name. The Utah Jazz.
Not a lot of jazz.
Not a lot of jazz in Utah. So I tried to sell Rob when we found out that there was an NHL team moving to Utah, that if we're going to continue naming Utah sports franchises after styles of music that don't exist in Utah, I'd like to go the Utah Ska. I think that would fit beautifully.
The Utah Ska.
Yeah, love it. That's what I think they should be going with. Doesn't seem like they're going there, but that's where I think they should be going. Get some horns. Get the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to play the anthem there on the first night.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It's no Horned Purple Frogs Rain. From TCU. I love the Horned Frogs.
It's no Making Whoopee.
It's no the best name ever from the CHL. The Central Hockey League, not the Canadian Hockey League. The Making Whoopee.
Love it. The Orlando Solar Bears. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And one of the best ones in NCAA. Now, you got to go find this team a little bit. But because
it's not Division One.
Presbyterian are the Blue Hose. And
that's not the name of the puck bunnies around the Leafs?
No. It was actually from, you know, kind of like the Red Sox or the White Sox a long time ago.
Oh, okay. But the hose,
but
yeah.
But blue pantyhose.
Sure.
That was worn way, way back in the day.
Yeah, the red stockings.
But I could get behind the Blue Hose.
Yeah. Like, could absolutely get behind a Blue Hose.
Right?
Yeah. Probably just one at a time. But
there are some good names out there.
Agreed.
I don't know how we got on this.
No. So,
topic, but
you know, CFL week one. Enjoy, yeah, no,
anyway,
everybody. That's all right.
For the Red Blacks, if they don't win six games, everyone's getting fired. So I'm going to take the over.
Yeah.
I
will take the over as well. I'm not insulted by it. I don't look at that and go,
I just
no respect for the Red Blacks. No, that's about right.
No,
but
I think
they can clear it.
I think you can make money if you take the over.
Yeah. Look for my call, Maddie. Maddie Lang handles all my bets.
Oh, he does.
I can't be trusted to have betting apps on my own phone. That would be a problem.
Why?
Oh, I have one of those personalities. It's not a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Same reason I sit here and have too many beers every day on the show or whatever else. You know, it can get away from me a little bit. So I don't allow myself to have betting apps on my phone. It's not a good idea.
All right. Why don't you just get a betting app and then put 50 bucks on?
Are you listening to me?
Yeah, but put 50 bucks on and don't. You just not putting
I did
anymore?
Do that for a couple of years when I was really trying. I had lost touch completely with the NFL. We're talking like 2013, 2014, 2015. I was just, I don't care. I need a reason to be more invested. And so I would throw $20 into Bodog, like buck on a game here, $2 on this one over here, a little, and you know, some years you finish with $17, some years you finish $24. Like you don't make or lose anything, but it was sort of fun. But I don't trust myself, so. We're not doing that. Even with these little loonies and toonies I'm kicking around. Big spender. Hey, a lot of people were getting ready to bet on Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. It's been called off. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah.
Shocker.
His Mike Tyson, his stomach ulcers were acting up. The things that hold out athletes in their late 50s.
The thing that happens when you get old. Somebody who's going through something.
They had rented Texas State. What the hell's it called? AT&T Stadium, the 100,000 seat Dallas Cowboys. That's where this fucking thing was going to be. I'm like, sorry, nah, go home. We'll try again in the fall, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I had on that.
Tyson's an
shocked.
Idiot, and he would have got knocked out anyway. So
by Jake Paul.
Yep.
I'm telling you,
these Paul brothers, both of them, are way better than people think that they are. And Mike Tyson would have had all Jake Paul would have done is run that guy around the ring for a couple of rounds, and then he would have knocked him out. And it would have been,
I think there was no chance that Jake Paul was knocking him out. Oh, I think you go the distance, maybe. I think you try and outlast him.
He's like 50, what Seven is he? Year,
I think he's 57.
57 years old, and there is no chance that he's getting knocked out?
I shouldn't say no, but he does not have enough power. We haven't seen that anywhere. Remember when he took on Mayweather? Mayweather had to hold him up through the end of a round or two. Like, this kid's not for real, not at that level. And Mayweather had clearly been paid to go the distance, and so by the end
You're
of it, he's holding him up.
The best boxer in the world.
Yeah, who was also retired. He's getting up there. He's not 57.
But Mayweather did this all the time.
And Mayweather isn't a puncher. Like, he's not a power guy.
He's not a power
guy. He's a technique guy. Yeah. I think there was a very good chance that if Tyson landed a shot on Jake Paul, Jake Paul is going out fast. I think Tyson at 57 can still find that power. I'm not sure what his chin would still look like. Obviously, his ulcers are a problem. I don't know if you could maybe work the body there a little bit or something. This is not a thing that gets talked about in most fights. But I absolutely think it was a better than, you know, better than 50% shot that Tyson was going to knock him out. And
you know what?
But it depends how much he's been paid.
You're now convincing me that having Bodog or another betting app is not a good idea.
No.
Okay. You've done a really nice job here at cementing why
these Jake Paul fights, these Logan Paul fights, like they're all in the WWE. Do not gamble. This is a show, not a sport.
Logan Paul is one of the best wrestlers in the WWE.
I got time for that. But I don't bet on wrestling.
Why not?
Because maybe somebody showed up that day and decided to change the script.
So?
Because I put $20 on whatever, Logan Paul to beat Roman Reigns, which would not have been a good idea. And they show up today and go, yeah, you know what? We're changing the story. We're just going to rewrite the ending. And now I lose my money.
It's
like betting on a soap opera. It's like betting on How I Met Your Mother.
Right?
Yeah.
Which you can.
Well, probably not now. We all know how it ends.
Yeah, but not now.
No.
But, yeah, I'm...
All right.
I love it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I really don't. And...
On betting on wrestling.
Yep.
Okay. I also think there's a really good chance that the people working inside the company who know how this is going to go are the first ones to get their money down, and that fucks the odds for the rest of us, so...
You're not allowed to do that.
Oh, well, that would be the first time anything untoward has happened in the gambling world.
Okay. Now, we're going down a bad road here.
Well, let's not. We are locked in. We got a Stanley Cup final set.
Let's go.
Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers. This is, geographically speaking, the biggest gap, biggest
distance. I
heard Ron McLean
say this, 4,039 kilometers, whatever it is, don't care.
Why don't you set the table then? Why don't you just take the wheel, Lee? I'll just sit here with my thumb in my ass, and you can get back to me when you want me to say something.
Excellent. Okay, folks, this is... he actually almost put his thumb in his ass, folks. I am always a person that once you have traveled the way a professional athlete travels, you will have a very difficult time... discussing travel as a reason why anything is going right or wrong.
Not waiting for you to bring me back in. I was not suggesting it's a factor in the series as much as just an interesting factoid, a tidbit.
How far was the Boston-Vancouver?
It was second. Right. I had it when I was, because I actually thought of this a week or so ago. I didn't know anything. I was just kicking around. I don't know a lot of things, but a lot of things. I was just kicking around in my head.
Clearly with that Tyson take. Yeah.
What would have been some of the furthest? And I had it in my head without doing any research. I would have guessed Montreal, LA from 93 would have been the furthest. And obviously that wasn't correct. Edmonton, Carolina was further than that. Vancouver, Boston was further than that. But that was the one that came to mind for me. I don't think it was a crazy assumption. But.
It's not crazy. Montreal is not as far east as some people think. And Edmonton's way more north than some people think.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, anyway, I, as a guy who thinks that European teams should be in sports, and I don't think the travel is that big of a deal, I just...
Depends how far you go, right? Like asking San Diego to play, I don't know, Berlin? That's rough. Asking New York to play London... This is no worse than going to LA or whatever. It's
yeah, and that was always my point. Yeah. It's like London coming in and playing a lot of the Eastern teams is no different than Edmonton going to Florida, right?
Like it's a couple times the one's worse, but
yeah, but it's all the same. When I'm telling you,
I guess I should clarify when I say that I'm only meaning the NFL. Once a week, you go over, you get adjusted. It's a totally different thing.
But having been
we're talking MLB.
But having been on those charters before.
Look at this fucking guy.
Not that many times.
Sitting with the baggage.
When they ask you, would you like steak or shrimp, sir?
Yeah.
As the first question when you get on.
You take the steak.
Every time.
Yeah.
And
not having seafood on a plane, that's going to be bad news.
Well, no. Well, that's
going to be bad news.
I think it's not the plane seafood. It's their seafood. It's much different.
Okay.
All I know is that I took a charter home with the Sens from Sunrise. There's a 7:30 start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tennis finish.
I think that was the game Brandon Bachanski scored a hat trick.
Got to be able to narrow that down. Couldn't have been many of those kicking around.
No, I think there's one.
Yeah.
And I just remember how blown away I was. I only lived probably about 10 minutes from the airport.
Right.
But I was in my bed at 1:45 in the morning.
Right.
Okay. So the game's 7:30, 10-ish. Sunrise to Lauderdale, the airport, is like 20-25 minute drive. Yeah.
My point was not that this was going to be extra taxing. Like, you get on the plane, I understand.
I know what your point was. I was just trying to make it more interesting.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Classing things up for me here.
I just don't. I don't know.
I just don't care that it's. I just like these little tidbits. How about this one? The top four picks from the 2014 NHL draft, all playing in this series. Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart, Leon Draisaitl, and someone else whose name is currently escaping me. Who the hell was it?
Yeah, I should know this.
Well, so should I, but I don't have it, so just trust me on this vote. Nugent Hopkins?
No, he was 2012,
yeah.
I want to say. But this is actually really interesting because the 2014 draft was not considered.
Yeah, it was kind of panned.
A very good draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go to 2015 and that was the McDavid draft. And,
yep. 16 is Matthews. Like, you start
but
to
15 kinda was really good.
Yep.
No,
does it mean anything? Not really, because most of these guys aren't still with their teams, right? Reinhart was obviously drafted elsewhere. Bennett was drafted elsewhere. Draisaitl.
Oh, how about the number one pick? Yeah.
Ekblad kicking around. So it's 3-1, actually. It's not 2-on-2 like I thought it was. So Aaron Ekblad, the first overall pick in 2014, playing with Reinhart and Bennett in Florida, and Draisaitl hanging out there doing his thing at a pretty elite level in Edmonton.
This is crazy because this draft was panned.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, at the time, this is a weak draft.
As being a very weak draft. You have Nylander 8th,
yep,
in this draft.
Nick Ritchie.
If you do have Nick Ritchie. But Dylan Larkin was 15th.
Right.
Like, there's some really good. Alex Tuck was 18th,
mm-hmm,
in that draft. There's some really good players. Really good players.
Yeah.
Oh, David Pastrnak was 25th in that draft.
What a loser.
Nikita Kut. No. but as a guy who, from 2011 to 2016, I covered all of those drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And easily one of the least memorable ones, other than AJ's going out to get a different cheesesteak every night between midnight and 3 in the morning in Philadelphia, was and climbing the steps and beating him up the steps and doing the Rocky.
You had to
in
get
in front of
first,
him while
yeah.
he was, yeah,
yeah.
I can't lose that one. So, I mean, like, I actually couldn't lose. I could have tripped and still won. So that was just not a memorable draft from a player perspective when there were some other great drafts.
Yeah.
And now you look back and you go, look at all those good players in the first round.
But at the time, it's funny, even when you look at those names that you've rung off, those top four that we're talking about, it was not a straight line to success, right? No. Draisaitl came up and he was getting sent back. Remember, he wanted to go back to World Juniors if you're going to send me down anyway. And they said no. And then like a week after World Juniors, sent him back to the WHL. He was pretty pissed about that. Sam Bennett was kind of regarded as a bust in Calgary. Like and he never turned out to be like a 50-goal guy, but he's gone to Florida and become an incredibly useful, an incredibly douchey and dirty player. But
doucheful.
Yeah.
Useful and douchey at the same time.
Yeah, that's him. Sam Reinhart was meant to be like he was a huge part of that McDavid World Juniors in 2015 in Toronto. But then it was slow going for him a little bit in Buffalo, and he gets to Florida. Now he puts up a 50-goal year just in time for a new contract. That's well played. Aaron Ekblad was sort of up and down, never became like the next, you know, Pronger, whatever they were trying to press on him, until he sort of gets it. He'd had some injury issues. It has not been a direct line to success for any of these guys, and now they have all found themselves not just on teams going to the Stanley Cup final, but key contributors to these two teams. Like, it's interesting that they all took this kind of weird scenic route, and now they're all going to face off here.
It's about time you brought up an interesting point here. But, yes, this one...
Thanks, man.
This is... You look at all of these guys, and none of them, as you said, straight line.
No.
Man, I'm actually blown away at some of the... Like, Fiala was in that draft. Again, as Pasternak was 25th, and Dylan Larkin, and Nick Ehlers,
pretty good.
I can't believe I went by Nick Ehlers at number 9. Like, anyway, just a really, really good draft.
And, yeah.
This probably is the example of why you need to be patient with players. And yeah, sometimes a change of scenery does them good, just like coaches, right? When a coach is there for certain amount of time and then goes on to the next team, then, you know, they learn a lot from the previous experience. I think that's true with players too, but
sure.
this is a tremendous example of why it takes players so long to be at the level that you think that they can.
When you look at this final and the way these teams are going to match up against each other, it reminds me a little, and I'm putting it out there so you can tell me again how dumb I am. I know you like to do that.
I'm on a roll today, so.
It's debatable. Anyway, Florida reminds me a little in this particular matchup of Dallas, where they can't quite match up with the high end that Edmonton has with your Draisaitl and McDavid, because really, who the fuck can? But they are still like loaded up, and like maybe Matthew Tkachuk, obviously with different approach to his game, would be your Jason Robertson, right? Barkov, elite. Not having a great playoffs, but like certainly would saw off Roope Hintz, right? If you want to go up and down the lineup here, they don't have a Heiskanen on their blue line, but their blue line is full of guys that have sort of developed late or like arrived there and suddenly became, like Montour is suddenly elite. Gustav Forsling is suddenly elite. Ekblad kind of has got his game together after some injury issues. But it has that vibe to me where I always thought Dallas, when we got to that West Final, I thought Dallas would beat Edmonton because of the depth. They wouldn't be able to match that high end at the very top, but if they could keep the Edmonton power play under control, their depth would win out in the long run and certainly their goaltending. And that didn't really happen. But I'm looking at this matchup a little bit the same way that it... Maybe they won't be able to do it just like Dallas couldn't, but Florida has to kind of map things out the same way. It's going to have to be their depth, and it's going to have to be their goaltending. Like, Bobrovsky can be a little up and down, but when he's on, you'll take him over Stuart Skinner any day of the week. But I'm not... Otherwise, it's going to have to be Edmonton's big boys. And their depth is better than it has been in previous years, but it's going to have to be those top guys that overwhelm Florida like they did to Dallas. Do you see this one shaking loose the same way, or that comparison is fair?
I think it's a really good comparison. I mean, I picked the Oilers to beat Dallas.
Right.
Because I thought McDavid and Draisaitl could carry and literally drag them along against a better team. Mm-hmm. Dallas was a better complete team.
Sure.
But the high end sometimes just wins out.
Yep.
And when you go 0-for on the power play in your entire series, like if I just presented to you, hey, Matt, even though you're not that bright today, here are the numbers from the series. One team is hitting at 36% on the power play, and the other team is hitting at 0%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to win the series?
Right.
Like, pretty sure we can figure it out.
Right.
So Edmonton's ability to kill penalties and to score on the power play is going to be the difference again in this series.
Florida PK is pretty good.
It is, but Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Evan Bouchard.
But this is the whole fun of this matchup,
right? Pretty good.
Is Florida's one of the top defensive teams in the league? Edmonton, obviously one of the offensive team in the league. Something's gonna have to give.
But I do think Florida is more a defensive team because they have the puck all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they don't. Every game they played against the Rangers, they overwhelmed them in the shots and the control.
Like at times, the score was tight, and there was games that went to overtime. But Rob and I talked a little about this, too. It never really felt like Florida was in danger.
Never.
Right? Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
That the Rangers weren't going to be good enough to win four times against them, even though they did win a couple. It just wasn't going to happen. So I love this matchup. And if Florida hadn't gone to the finals last year, I'd be picking Edmonton all day, every day, and twice on Sunday with McDavid and Draisaitl. But it scares me a lot that when you sit there and you watch somebody win the Stanley Cup and you get a chance to win it the next year against a team that has never, none of the top players have ever been there before. You can talk about, you know, Corey Perry and great. Like I see the way too much talk about a guy who doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, he's not even been in the lineup every day. No, I'm with you.
And we hear that. But the top players haven't been.
No.
So that scares me a ton from an Edmonton perspective.
Like they might be hit by the moment a little too much?
Well, just that McDavid and Draisaitl can't do everything. And if Skinner's not great and if the PK's not great, we see Florida overwhelmed.
What game was it in the last round where RNH was the one who had two goals or whatever it was? And you're sort of like, oh, yeah, that guy who had 100 points last year.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
RNH.
But you sort of like, he kind of gets lost in the background.
Well, who wouldn't get lost?
I understand.
Behind those guys. Yeah. So I just think that Florida can overwhelm you in your own zone. And Edmonton's
they're going to put you through the meat grinder for sure.
And Edmonton's not great in their own zone. So.
Yeah, like you don't want CC or Desharnais or whatever getting put in the turnstile.
Don't say CC.
I'm saying it.
Yeah. By the way, I texted what I would say is a group of fairly knowledgeable people. That's the most I would say about them.
Wasn't included in it, so can't imagine it's accurate.
So hard. So what I would call fairly knowledgeable people and who have just trashed Cody Ceci. And I'm not going to make this about Cody Ceci again. My only point was with a berth to the Stanley Cup final on the line with a minute to go, Chris Knobloch put Cody Ceci on the ice. End of argument. Done. Completely over.
Nope. No. You don't get to do that. You don't get to just say what you want to say and then say end of argument. You don't. Do you go, well, maybe I'll put that rookie Broberg out in the last minute. Maybe I'll put Evan Bouchard, who is elite offensively, but not close to elite in his own. At some point, you just run out of options. This is who I got.
Going
this
to the Stanley Cup with a minute to go and you're running out of options? Come on, Matt. You're more than that.
You think that Broberg and Evan Bouchard were great options to help you kill out the last minute.
I think putting Cody Ceci on the ice is because Cody Ceci is
decent. You've watched Cody
Ceci
play with Darnell Nurse and with how this is all played out this playoff, right? He has not been shut down, like a shutdown, lock it up.
No.
Sometimes you just got what you got. The Leafs are throwing out Ilya Labushkin and Morgan Riley in the last minute of a game. That seem elite to you? Does that because it's trust or it's like, well, that's what we got.
I don't see a berth to the Stanley Cup final.
You do not.
The line.
You absolutely do not. But,
so I don't
but
some, need to worry about
someone
that.
Is going to have to play those minutes, is right. my point.
Well, that's a weak argument for going to the Stanley Cup for the first time and I'm putting Cody Ceci on the ice. Like,
it's not a weak argument. I think if we put this out to the same people
down.
That we just asked.
You can't tear that
the
guy
K
down.
Question two a couple of weeks ago.
You can't tear the guy down. When he got put on the ice by a coach trying to get to the Stanley Cup in the last minute,
okay,
holding a one goal.
You know what? I only got so many options, and this was one of them.
Okay. So I thought I was picking Edmonton the entire time, and I still think Edmonton, I thought McDavid and Draisaitl were going to drag these guys to the Stanley Cup. But Florida getting there last year, and I just know – when you
You've given that dog a taste of meat.
Yeah, when you talk to former players and they sit there and watch another team hoist the Stanley Cup in front of them, it's the worst thing that can ever happen to them. And if they get another shot at it, rarely does it happen again.
It's really rare that anybody comes to the cup final twice in a row and loses.
Yeah.
Both times. I think you have to go back to the 70s Bruins in like 76, 77, something like that, and they fell both times.
Yeah, and history is great, but that was 50 years ago.
I understand.
And the game is different.
But to your point, yeah. If you'll allow me to use some history, and you will because now I'm about to back you up, 08-09.
History sucks.
The Pittsburgh Penguins get to the final in 08 and lose to Detroit. And in 09, fuck that. We're not doing that again. And they get it done. They overpower them, right? Like it.
Yeah.
Detroit loses in, I've already ruined my own point. Detroit gets there in 95, loses to the Devils. When they go back in 97, they win. But there is a year gap, so it's not quite the same
thing. They did get swept by the Devils.
Yeah. And then in 96, they lose to Colorado. That's the whole Chris Draper year, all of that stuff. But, you know, once you get a taste of it, it's really hard to get back there and I've trapped myself with my words, but like it's unlikely that you're going to get back there again and lose again. You now know what it takes. You've gotten a taste of it. You want a little bit more. Whereas Edmonton is the new blood having to go, this doesn't come around every day.
And you look at the top players in history, because I think with 31 points already in the playoffs and a chance to hit 40, and only Gretzky and Lemieux have hit 40 points in the playoffs in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It always was McDavid's going to pull them along. And then when you start to go back and go, Gretzky lost in his first Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid lost in his first Stanley Cup final.
Gretzky, the exact same situation as Sid in that 08-09, right? Gretz faces the Islanders and loses,
right.
Comes back years later, a year later and wins.
So basically what we're saying is the Edmonton Oilers are going to win the Stanley Cup next year. But
I think I'm still picking the Oilers.
I've been thinking about this for a few days. I want them to
win.
I'm cheering for them to win.
Yeah.
But if I'm putting money down, it's going to be on the Florida Panthers.
I just think after betting on, in my head, the Stars over the Oilers in the West Final.
Can I set up an account for you? Like just $10 or something?
Nah. $10 of yours. Like if it's your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. You wouldn't waste my money. My money's your money.
Oh, I like that. All right, we can work with that. I just think after betting on Dallas for the same reasons that I would bet on Florida, right? Like with that same argument, it's depth over high end, and I just watched that high end get it done. And we talked about it last week. And look, that game six that McDavid had was great. I still don't think he's hit top McDavid. I don't think we've seen best McDavid yet. And if that arrives, he's just going to overwhelm them.
Yep.
That's just what happens. And so I think I've sort of reached your points are not crazy, right? That what Florida does is going to be really tough for him. This is a long series, but I do think Edmonton in the end is close enough in depth that it will buy enough time for McDavid and Draisaitl to do what they're supposed to do. The only thing that makes me nervous, and it makes me really nervous, is
Skinner.
Yeah, do we see Pickard in game three or something like that?
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, I just think Florida's a better Dallas. So,
yeah.
And with a team that went to the cup finals last year,
and their depth
and
is playoff shitty, right? Like, Matt Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, like you, it sucks to play those guys. And Dallas, they're deep, but Jason Robertson is not Matthew Tkachuk in terms of what you're going to endure for 6-7 games, right? Like the personalities are Sam Bennett, that guy sucks to play against. Florida has more of those guys. So,
do you think McDavid gets more calls in the finals because he's McDavid and he's the biggest star in the game and he's now in the finals for the first time? Do you think he gets more calls? Do you think this becomes a storyline?
Oh, I think it could easily become storyline, but no, I don't think I think the storyline will be that he's not getting enough call. Most of these playoff series play out the same way, right? Like games one and two, there's an average amount of penalties, like it's fine, and then it starts to trend down as the series goes on, and they're able to point back and go, see, well, as an average, early on, everyone was getting four power plays. Yeah, but it's game seven, and nobody's getting any. Like, I don't.
That's not incorrect.
No. So I think we'll be talking about whether McDavid is getting enough calls, But I don't think, you know, the fact that he's here will change the way it's called.
How do you feel about Edmonton representing Canada on the stage that everybody talks about?
Yeah, and I got this on my list of things to talk about too, but let's take a break first to grab another beer. We'll circle back.
You know what? Because we're going to talk a little bit more Canadian, let's...
Have a Molson Canadian?
No. Let's do a little bit more Canadian in the beer that we're going to have next.
Okay. I like that. Stay there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second.
I'm proud to be Canadian. We may not have a fancy NFL team or prince, but we invented Trivial Pursuit. You're welcome, Earth. In Canada, you can go to an all-nude strip club and order alcohol. That's right. From Moose Jaw to the Bay of Fundy, you can suck down a 20-ounce Pilsner while watching some coal miner's daughter strip down to her pelt. Jealous. In Canada, people don't care where you're from. As long as you're friendly and maybe loan them a smoke or hand over a donut. I'm proud to be from the Great White North.
All right, our man Lee here tied things together quite nicely there as we wrapped up the first half of the show. I'm going to keep talking Canadiana.
Keep complimenting me.
I think I've done enough here. We're going to talk some Canadiana on the hockey front. We might as well keep things Canadiana on the beer front. You poo-pooed my Molson Canadian idea, so what have you brought to the
table here? I'm going to, and I don't know, because incredibly I haven't looked in your fridge. You've scared me off a little bit from looking in your fridge, but I will go out at the end of this show and look in your fridge, especially the fact that Angela was here and, you know, did such a great job and I'm sure brought you some...
Moonstruck Dark Lager.
Exactly.
God love her.
But I'm going to doubt, like on the Bodog line of the day, that you have a Molson Canadian.
How much?
Here. Yeah, you see your poker face here. You're looking good, but I don't. Why would you ever have one?
I think there's seven out there.
Seven?
Yep.
Did you buy them?
I think so.
Not as sure.
No, I'm not. My dad loves it. That's my dad's beer. So when he comes to visit, sometimes he brings his own, but sometimes I'll you know, stock up before he comes. There's a six pack in the fridge right now, and maybe one extra from the last time he was here. I may have drank that at some point, the one solo one.
All right.
But there is at least
sentimental
six.
Value. Yeah. Fine.
There is at least six Molson Canadian in the fridge out there.
All right.
Yeah. But that's not what we're having here.
Labatt Blue?
Because you're too good for... No, I don't like the blue. It's got like formaldehyde in it or something.
Carlsberg? That's what my father drank.
No.
It was only Carlsberg in the fridge. And as like a young kid, I didn't know what... Can I have a Carlsberg?
Right.
It just looked pretty.
You'll never drink another beer again.
Yeah.
The blue gives you this like frontal lobe headache. There's some sort of...
What?
I don't... The hangover, if you have too many of them... It just hovers in that, just in front of your temples is the headache that I get.
I don't ever want to have too many Labatt Blues, okay? Ever.
I think the last time that happened to me, we were in a hotel bar in Montreal, and it was the last thing they had on tap was Labatt Blue. All right. Again, well, we're not going to bed, so.
Yeah, you got
to
do it. It's the only way. All right. So what we do have here, the name of the beer is O Canada.
Oh, Canada.
And it is the Perth Brewery Maple Ale. And we've had other maple ales. Ooh, we've had this before.
This is one of your go-tos. This is a favorite of yours. And I'll be honest with you, on first sip here, this is more maple-y than I remember it to be. The last time I had this, whether it was just a different batch, maybe it's just my shit memory, could be a lot of things. I remember the maple being a little bit more subtle, and it's coming through stronger on this one.
Okay. I have don't recall having this particular beer where the word subtle was used.
So that's me.
It is. So Perth, in particular, with a lot of their beers, are flavor heavy, flavor forward.
Right.
So if you get a maple, you're going to taste maple. If you get a honey, which is one of my... absolute favorites.
It might be the honey that I'm thinking of, actually.
You will taste the honey at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end, it's more of a beer.
It's not
with
as
a honey...
forward as this maple.
No,
is.
No. You actually get the honey at the very
That's
end.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking of. You're right.
But they have, and I brought it in, a pistachio that tastes mm-hmm. a little bit like amaretto.
Yeah.
One of the most flavorful beers that they have, or shandies, I guess, is, and I can't remember the name because they name all of their beers, but it's a lemon ginger shandy.
Okay.
It is like out of this world flavorful. Now, again, it's only, I think, 2.8, 2.9, something in that range.
Right.
Where I'm not always super keen on paying the same amount for half of the alcohol. But in my 5-week hiatus, I learned that I can pay the same amount for zero alcohol.
Right.
So now I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe half's okay.
I'll pay
okay.
for 3.5%.
Yeah, maybe half's okay because I'm paying the same amount for no alcohol
right.
in my beer. But most of the things that you get from Perth, they have a grapefruit rattler that is very grapefruity.
A couple years ago, they had a stout that was in the Nita Advent calendar that was so good. On like Christmas Eve, when we were already late, my dad and I had to stop driving down to the cottage. As we always stop, they share a parking lot, stop at the Wendy's get a yeah, classic
you
double.
Love that.
Sure do. And then had to run in and grab like a bunch more of that stout. And we only had tried it because they had put one in this advent calendar. I'm like, right. Damn, that's good. We had to stop, grab 12, 24 more, whatever it was to take down for Christmas at yeah. at the family cottage.
So, look, I have a lot of favorite beers from different breweries, and I don't love one more than the other, but Perth is one of those that I'm a big flavor person, and not having had a beer in 5 weeks,
right,
I was like, I just feel like
I got a hankering.
You can't get their honey
or some spankering.
Again, let him go, let him go. Let him keep talking. So I go because you can't get their honey anywhere because the honey's in it and it has to be refrigerated at a certain temperature, right. Whatever it is. So you can only get it at the brewery. You can't get it anywhere else. They have a couple places on tap. When I say a couple, I mean like on one hand.
Sure.
I know that Kraft in Lansdowne yep. has it, Heart and Crown in the Market has it, the Marlboro.
There was a place on the Elgin Beer Project had it for a while. I know I tried it there.
So like but it's literally on one hand.
Yeah.
But a lot of their beers, so I went and got 12 honeys, 6 maples. I think I got 4 shandies and 2 grapefruits.
Okay. Loaded up.
Like all flavor. You know what I mean? I just needed a little bit more flavor in my life after 5 weeks.
Welcome to Flavor Country.
Yeah. So their maple has always been my favorite. I think the OBC was pretty close.
Yeah.
When you brought that to my attention, I hadn't had that before. But if I have a maple beer, I want to be smacked in the face with maple. And I feel like this does.
We are about to be smacked in the face. And really, we have been all week with the same goddamn debate we have every year.
And I'm almost hoping it just ends, right? That Edmonton wins so we don't have to talk about it again.
Yeah. With the story of it's been this long since a Canadian team has won the cup. Is the rest of Canada going to rally around the Oilers? And it might be more that story that keeps me from fully wrapping my arms around the Oilers. Because if I'm being honest with you, Lever, in 2004, I was younger. I was less of a jaded douchebag back then. I got
all in. I'd like to meet that. Matthew G.
I used to be kind of fun. Like, I was actually a pretty cool guy to hang around. Not pretty cool guy as a guy. I was pretty cool to hang around.
Right.
Let's draw that line
the
properly.
Different Matthew Gordon.
Yeah. I went all in on the Flames in 04.
Yeah.
That was a fun run. And while I'm quite certain the Flames did not go all in on the Oilers in 06, I did again. Let's take this run. I got no beef with the Oilers. Let's see what Fernando Pisani and you know, Alex Hemsky and Ryan Smith and Sean Horkoff and the boys can do.
Pisani scores! Pisani! Love Chris Cuthbert calling a Fernando Pisani goal.
Yeah. Dwayne Rolison carrying the load until he couldn't quite make it to the finish line.
Yeah, he fell down a little bit.
I was all in on that. And if you want to hear a little bit more about that run, I should take a break here and say our friend Angela Thompson from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company worked for the Oilers that year and was a huge part of like getting
tickets and like families to Carolina for game seven and things like that. So when she was on the show, on Wednesday morning, we talked all about that that run with her. So the last time the Oilers went to it, but I got all in on that. Now, look, it won't shock anybody to learn when it was the Sens in 07, couldn't do it. Could not get there, right? And Sens fans will get this because they would never do the same for the Leafs should they ever get out of the first round. Like, it just wouldn't happen. But I had no beef with either Western team. I did struggle in 2011 with Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like the personality of that team.
That was a difficult team to like.
Yeah, and it was a lot of the Burrows thing and the Kessler thing and the... Now, it wasn't hard to cheer for the Bruins. Yeah. It wasn't hard yet to cheer for the Bruins because 2013
hadn't happened yet.
18 and 19 and 24 hadn't happened yet, right? So I was able to wrap my head around, yeah, well, if we're doing the Canada thing, the Bruins have more Canadians than the Canucks, so that argument's always fun too. But I couldn't get there. And ever since then, I sort of was, I don't follow this thing anymore. I don't care about whether it's a Canadian team in there. I don't even really care about which team has more Canadians on it.
No.
We talked last week. Sometimes you sit down and you watch a sporting event and you don't know that you care until you start watching it. Oh, turns out I am sort of rooting for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
This time, I do think I'm rooting for Edmonton, and it's largely because, A, I hate Florida and Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, and I could go on. But B, I'm really happy to see the game's greatest player on the biggest stage. I like that. But I'm so tired of the, we're all going to rally around Canada's
team. I am too.
Yeah.
And I am a guy that is cheering for Edmonton for the same reasons. I want to see McDavid succeed. I want to see Drysdale. I want to see a team that was 3-9-3.
I kind of want to see Zach Hyman do well.
3-9-3.
Yeah.
In their first 15 games, come back and be the best team.
2-9-1. 5 points. Fewest in any 12 games to start a season to make it to, like, fewest points ever accumulated in the first 12 games of a season to make it to a Stanley Cup final.
So,
what a terrible.
So, I'll ask you. So, as a guy, I hate, and I haven't been there, so it is hard for me to say this, and I get if people are from there, but there's not a lot to like about the city of Edmonton. Really.
It's cold, it's dark.
It's cold, it's dark. They're,
in the winter, I guess.
They're pompous when they
summer.
They're pompous when they shouldn't
light
be.
Light till 11 p.m.
The Eskimos / Elks organization thinks that they're better than everybody else all the time. There's nothing to like about them. The Oilers have been kind of the same way.
And a lot of the team's message gets framed. I'm not going to ask you to support this. I'm going to say it. Gets framed through a media group that I don't think is particularly likable either.
Yep.
So
I would agree.
That's where half of this message gets delivered through. And you're like, yeah, fuck that. Like,
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And there's just something about the city and the teams and the arrogance of the people that I don't like. Having said all of that, what is there not to like? And I'm asking you this somewhat seriously.
Yeah.
When you just look at the Edmonton Oilers, not the city, history, just this particular team, what is there not to like about them? Like, what is it that people will look to and go, you know what? I don't like that guy. I don't like the way that this person, this coach, this player.
Sure.
I think the goalie's an incredible story from...
Oh, it's a hell of a story.
From where he was to where he is.
Yeah.
Is an
Start Jack Campbell, you cowards.
Yeah. Is an incredible story. And good for him to be where he is. I am cheering for that guy to win.
Stewie Skins.
Then you have the greatest player in the game.
Yep.
Who's 9 years into his career, and everyone talks
years
about
from coming home.
And everyone talked about him, and just like Johnny Bedsheets will be at the end of his career, and then they'll pay him too much money, and then
I don't care. I'm doing it for that guy.
Yeah.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
This time it's gonna work.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So. I'm cheering for the best player in the game to win.
Yeah. And you like to be on that guy's side. It sucks to cheer against the best player in the world because you're just waiting for him to blow you up. Like it.
And Draisaitl is probably the best player in the game when it comes to, like, if that guy was on a different team, we might be talking about him as the second best player in the game. But we don't talk about him as number two because McDavid's number one and they can't possibly have the best two players in the league. But Draisaitl's been all world again. Because the thing that blows me away about those guys and all like true superstars is I'm pretty sure that every team knows if we stop McDavid and Draisaitl, we're probably going to win.
Yeah.
And they can't do it.
But you can't do it.
So, again, what is there? And I'll ask you, what is there not to like about the Oilers? Just as a team.
Yeah.
I resent their success ahead of my team, which was supposed to be on the same trajectory. I find that hard to swallow. But you asked me what do I find it hard to like about the Leafs and the Oilers were supposed to be on this same sort of upward. The Oilers have done better all the way through, but now certainly have arrived ahead of the Leafs. I wish they hadn't got Corey Perry. Never liked that guy. But as you said in an earlier subject, who cares? He plays some games, doesn't play.
He's insignificant to the success of the team.
Yep. But you're asking me to, you know, pull straws here. Like, there's not a lot to not like. That's why this is coming off so petty. This is a reasonably likable team.
So then why?
I like the Henrik deal. Like, a lot of the things they've done when they went out last year, and look. There's no being ahead of the curve here. I think when they went out and got Matthias Ekholm, I was like, perfect. That's the guy. That's the perfect. But that's what everybody said. That's clearly what they needed. And when they finally went and did it, everyone was like, yep, that's the guy. That's the right fit. And it has been a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And so you're like, cool. Because it also gives you that little bit of like, told you, right? Like, I knew what the Oilers needed.
But that was, and good for them.
Yeah.
But they found they needed something to prop them up on the back end in a massive way.
Well, it just pushed everybody into a better position, as it often does.
And
right?
They found a
Nurse
guy.
Nurse is not our top pair guy now. He moves down a little. They get rid of, what's his name? The right-handed Tyson Barrie, the disaster in their own end.
Yeah, he was not very good.
And in our own end at one point. But yeah.
Anyway, the point about Ekholm is that not a lot of people want to go to Edmonton, right?
Sure.
And some
you
people
need somebody from Northern Sweden.
People make more of it, but he and his wife wanted a northern climate. And they enjoy that sort of thing, and they found the diamond.
That's the perfect
that
fit.
Actually wanted to be
not
there.
Just that was going to be the perfect fit on the ice, the guy who wanted to come to Edmonton and be happy to be there.
And good for them.
Yeah.
And so
when you ask me what's not to like, the reasons my answers come off so petty is because they have to be. I largely do like this team.
So why is Canada not embracing them as Canada's
team? It just doesn't work that way. When we talk about bursting this bubble, right? This Canada hasn't won since whatever, and we're all desperate. We'll all rally around whatever the Canadian team is this year. No, I want my team to be the one who gets to A, do it, and then B, my fan base is the one that gets to be insufferable to everyone else. I don't want to hear what Oilers fans are going to say in 2.5 weeks if this goes their way. We're the ones who did it. The replies of every tweet of every Canadian team. Well, when was the last time you won a cup? Right? Like the 93, 67, 90, whatever it was. 86 for the 89 for the Flames.
Pretty much the 80s was a fairly good Canadian.
Unless you're a Leaf fan, and in which case it's been a minute. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
so Canada's never going to embrace.
You don't want to see.
Never,
no, you're not.
Canada will never embrace a team unless it's Winnipeg. Because nobody even cares about Winnipeg.
Did you cheer for Calgary in 04? I'm just curious.
No.
No. Edmonton in 06?
No.
Vancouver in 11?
No.
Okay. Well, then fair enough.
So what are you giving me shit for? You didn't want to do it either.
No. You're taking me making a point as giving you shit, and I'm not doing that.
You can see why I would assume that, though.
Because I do it often. So yes. But I'm not doing that. What I am saying is that I'm not sure that we as a country care enough to embrace another team more than our own team, because
that Boston Pizza commercial they're running every 3 minutes is making it worse.
Right.
I agree
with that. But people are so loyal to Montreal and Toronto and Vancouver and even, you know, in Edmonton and Calgary with the divide between them and they're not going to cheer for each other, that literally if it's not Winnipeg, because again, nobody really cares about
Winnipeg. I'm over Winnipeg too.
Yeah, but you would cheer for them if they were playing somebody in the finals, because you don't have this like...
Honestly, it depends who, man. It really does.
Really?
Yeah. I don't hate Winnipeg. I'm just sort of like...
So who would it be? Who would you cheer for over Winnipeg? Rangers? Devils?
Yeah, so you're right. It's got to be East. Probably the Pens.
You would cheer for Pittsburgh over Winnipeg?
Yeah, I think so.
Why?
I don't know. I kind of would be on
Dubas,
side with the...
Dubas, Okay.
Well, I was going to say the one last gasp for Sid, right? That whole thing. I think I could get on side with that. I kind of want to see Carolina do well. If it was a Carolina-Winnipeg series, I could get... No one else would watch it, but I would like to see Carolina do well.
That would be the markets.
But your point's not wrong.
We're just so... wrapped up in our own team in the seven or six markets.
And I do think there is a little bit more, even though the geography is strange, we don't play them all that often. I think there's more of a rivalry between Canadian teams than we like to think there is. There's a little bit of a, we're the best team in Canada. Yeah.
People out West hate Toronto, right? They hate Ontario. They hate everything about it. They're not as good. And then as a guy who grew up in Toronto for the first, 24 years of my life before I moved here, I always thought, I don't understand why the rest of the country hates Toronto. And then I moved away from Toronto and found out very quickly why everybody hates Toronto.
Well, they'll all give you a reason. But
it was always about, when I lived there, it was always about, well, it's the rest of the country's fault. Yeah. And then when I moved out...
We had this conversation a couple weeks ago. The rest of the country shows up in Toronto and goes to all the tourist spots. You hate each other. You don't hate Torontonians. Get your shit together. I went to the CN Tower and everybody was an asshole. Well, you think the guy who lives 12 blocks north of the CN Tower is hanging out there? Probably not, man. That was probably you and your buddies.
I was going to say, I've never done a tour of the Parliament buildings here.
Really, eh?
Yeah, never.
I mean, me neither, but you've been... Well, you've been here 10 years longer, so I get to give you...
Oh, come on. How long have you been here?
2012.
So you've been here 12 years.
Yeah, I'm not saying I have a good excuse for having not done it.
Okay, so to be less than me doesn't make it like 12
years.
Yeah,
I've had time.
Right, but we don't... To your point, we don't hang out at the Parliament buildings.
No, that's it.
So it's not a representation of...
Yeah, if you're strolling around, if you're coming in from Camrose, Alberta, and you're touring around the Parliament buildings, you're going, everyone here's an asshole. Well, it's probably not the guy who lives down in Barhaven or whatever that you're pissed at.
Although Barhaven's not great.
Yeah. It wouldn't be unreasonable to be pissed at Barhaven. I look at this and so I do kind of hope Edmonton wins, if for no other reason than A, the 93 story dies. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we don't talk about anymore.
Yeah.
But on the same hand, I'm sort of like, yeah, no, you don't deserve it. I deserve it. You don't deserve it. Like, we get to be the ones who burst the bubble. And if it's not going to be me, it doesn't get to be you.
Okay.
It's like watching your neighbor win the lottery. Fuck that guy. He's going to be putting in a nice pool beside our house.
Edmonton is not our neighbor.
It's a small country. It's a very big country, but it's a small country.
We have the best player in the world.
Yep.
And he plays in Canada.
Yep.
And you're not sure.
Who cares? He plays in a different time zone. I'd rather he played in Buffalo. At least I could drive down and watch him now and then. He'd be done by 9:30 most nights.
This is very fair.
Well, this is like all the people who are like the NHL fixes the draft. You're like, yeah, and they sent the once in a lifetime player out to Northern Alberta instead of to,
after they won the draft in 2011 and 2012, then in 2015.
Where's Nail Yakupov at?
That was a bad draft.
Sure was, man. And it's funny to look at them and go, ah-ha. He was the consensus one. Like, everyone was taking him. So oh, yeah. I can't rip the Oilers for that. But
it's a bad draft.
Can I... I saw something on Twitter for the last couple days that's been pissing me off, man, and it's Twitter.
Oh, I like this. Yes.
On Sunday night, CBC did not show the Edmonton Oilers game.
So ridiculous.
Oh, it seems like you and I are going to disagree on this. You're going to be one of the dullards. The Canadian Screen Awards were on. CBC had been long since contracted to show it. So they did. And there are some politicians who I disagree with on just about everything they've ever said, who have taken this opportunity to say, well, of course they didn't show the Oilers game. And I'm quoting one tweet in particular. I will put it in the replies to this episode on Twitter if you want to see for yourself, because it's almost mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. So if the Laurentian elites and their Leafs, or Muskoka and their Habs had been the team.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you a dumb fuck about how the broadcast industry works, you don't know geography, because most people in the Laurentians do not cheer for the Leafs, and most people in the Muskokas do not cheer for the Habs. Of course, CBC didn't show it. If it was the Leafs or the Habs, they would have. Defund the CBC because you didn't show a hockey game. Defund the CBC has been a cry of that party for a while. And listen, I disagree with it, but I understand why some people are uncomfortable with giving taxpayer money to a TV network. Certainly one that has a huge journalistic entity as part of it. I do understand why people are uncomfortable with a government-funded broadcaster covering a government. I think they largely do a good job, but I don't think it's a crazy thing to be concerned about. What I do get concerned about is people who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, using it to stir up political garbage. And that's what this is. Because since like 2013, 2014, I don't remember what the first year of the Rogers Sportsnet deal with the NHL was. The CBC does not make a dime off hockey. They get to show it, and Rogers Sportsnet sells the ads. Rogers Sportsnet collects that ad money, even when the games are on CBC. So the CBC never makes money. What they don't have to do, what the whole reason they would agree to still do this is because they don't have to pay to create content for every Saturday night. That's going to get smashed by Sportsnet anyway, right? You decide, we'll create Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman 2.
Ooh, excellent.
Right. And we'll air it every Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and no one will watch it because hockey's on. That's the reason to allow Sportsnet to essentially simulcast on CBC. Sportsnet gives CBC what game they're going to get. Sportsnet sells the ads, collects the money. CBC is just the vehicle. And listen, I know that this is serious nerd shit. Not everybody knows that. And I'm not saying you're a dullard if you don't know it. Why would you? Who cares? I look for the game on Saturday night and I watch whatever channel it's on. I do get to call you a dullard when you try and weaponize it for politics. Because only one of two things can be true, Lee. You know, and you're actively misleading people to get them all fired up so you can do what you want to do anyway, which is the whole defund the CBC thing. Or you don't know anything, and you're still out talking stupid to your constituents. And neither one of those is okay. And it's got me really fired up. I'm really pissed about this. And if you want to go this far, if you do want to say the CBC, no matter what, should carry every single hockey game that a Canadian team is playing in the playoffs, it's already been defunded to the point where it can't afford to by the Stephen Harper government a long time ago. Sportsnet paid over $5 billion to the NHL to take over the national rights. do you really want $5 billion of taxpayer money going so that CBC can outbid Rogers Sportsnet to have those games? It's a terrible idea. I don't want that. Look, I'm as big a hockey fan as anybody else. I would think it's terrible business to spend $5 billion of taxpayer money to buy the NHL rights. And to sit here now and try and weaponize it and use it as a reason to defund the CBC. They made money on broadcasting the Canadian Screen Awards, and then they had a Just for Laughs special. It's very quaint, right? That's very Canada, our Canadian Screen Awards, and our Just for Laughs special afterwards. But whatever mediocre money they made selling ads during those events at least went back to the CBC instead of to Rogers Sportsnet. And to sit and scream that somehow the CBC owed it to us to blow their brains out financially and lose money on a night, it's just dumb. And I don't fault hockey fans who don't understand how that all works. I do fault politicians trying to weaponize it, Lee. I hate that shit.
So, okay.
I appreciate you giving me a little space there.
No, 97% of what you're saying, I completely agree with. And
well, hit me with the three then.
Well, the three is, if you're going to make that argument about even the first round or the second round, or first of all, I don't give a flying bleep who won anything at the CBC Awards. I don't care. Mm-hmm. As a Canadian, I don't give a bleep.
The people who were watching that don't give a shit who won the Oilers game.
Yeah. And the people who were watching that were much less than the people who were watching the Oilers game.
Yeah.
So when a Canadian team on a Saturday night.
It was a Sunday night.
Sunday night, which is even better.
No. Saturday night is the traditional hockey night.
But Sunday night's a great television.
That's why they schedule awards shows for Sunday nights.
Yeah.
We're not going up against hockey on Saturdays.
And CBC, they could have changed it.
No, they couldn't.
Yes, they could have.
They could have rescheduled the Canadian Screen Awards for what? Just throw it out on a random Tuesday and just. This is all about collecting money. And even if I have no idea what ad money the Canadian Screen Awards made for CBC, but it was more than the $0 they were going to make from the Oilers game. The game was on TV. You can watch it.
But you know as much as I do that sometimes
more,
sometimes less.
Sometimes.
That's why we make such a good team, because we both don't know things.
Ooh, ain't that the truth?
So, but sometimes it's not all about the money that you make on that particular night. It's about the harm that you're doing long term. Even if you're not making
what any, harm was done long term,
because people are pissed. So, cable.
Who?
Okay,
a couple politicians.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. You had your time. So now
it's all my time.
Yes, I know. But I'm asking for a little bit now.
All right.
So we know now about subscription-based, it's expensive to watch television. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Bell or Rogers or Crave or Amazon or Apple or whatever it is, you got to subscribe to seven things mm-hmm. to get everything. And for the people who don't, the people who can't afford it, the people who don't have the money to spend on television, those people should be able to watch a team in the final four, if they are Canadian, of our game. Of the game.
Our game.
It is our game.
Okay.
It still is.
25 of 32 teams. Two teams exist outside.
But why do we talk about that we haven't won a Stanley Cup in 31 years?
Come on. We both just agreed that was a stupid argument and neither one of us buys it.
But why do people keep talking about it?
Because it keeps getting shoved down our throats.
But people keep talking about it because it matters to some people. Not me, but it matters to some.
So did the Canadian Screen Awards. Mattered to some people. Not me, but to some.
Yeah.
Well,
the Final Four, if you couldn't afford television, you should have an option to watch the game. I don't care about the first round. I don't care about the second round. But now a team.
Dude,
I don't care who it is.
This is ridiculous talk. This is all ridiculous. Are you entitled to watch the Grey Cup
on CTV. That's our championship game. All the teams are in our league. Yeah. Is that free or is it on TSN that you have to pay for?
It's on CTV.
It is not. It's on TSN. That was the whole point of the second deal that they struck, was to make people subscribe to TSN. It is not on CTV.
Well, it should be.
The Blue Jays, every playoff game that they get to and lose, get eliminated fast. You got to pay to watch on Sportsnet?
I know you're a Blue Jays fan, but baseball is not our game.
It's one team across the country. That is Canada's team.
I actually agree with that thought, that it should be. But still, baseball is not our game. Hockey is our game.
If the Grey Cup is not our game, whose game is it?
Okay, it should be. I would agree. It should be available to anyone who wants to
watch
it. But it
isn't. And everyone got over it. And Lee, you know this is being disingenuously painted by politicians to stir up something they want to do anyway. They don't care about the Oilers game.
Yes, you're absolutely right in what you say.
Well, then what are we doing?
We're doing... because the person who can't afford to pay for television should be able to watch a Canadian team in the Final Four.
They missed the whole season anyway, so they don't really care.
No, see,
they missed the whole season.
That's not fair.
They missed the whole season.
Yeah, and guess
what? They would have had to get Sportsnet, or they would have had to get TSN.
Guess what? In sports, people glom on at the end. Nah. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. I can tell you when I went home.
To watch that too.
Yeah, but when I went home and talked to my family, nobody gave
it. It's just not the world we live in.
Nobody cares about it.
A lot of things that used to be free aren't free anymore. This is being politicized, and that's it. That's the whole thing. This is a... to throw it at them, like, they did manage to show New York and Florida on Saturday. Yeah, it was fucking Saturday. That's when we watch hockey in Canada, so there was time on... CBC had something else on the schedule
does
that
some
they
of
could
your money,
make.
Does some of your money go to CBC?
Yeah.
It does. So then people have a right to voice their opinion when they want to watch a
Canadian
team.
I just said, you know this already, Lee. I just said I have no beef with the people, the average Joe who's upset at how this went. I am irritated by politicians who know better using this as like the next chapter in the culture wars.
But see, and you're a guy who cares about politics.
I sure am.
No, and I appreciate that a lot because I don't. And I've removed myself from it because I feel like I'm not going to get anything that is worth me caring about. So I actually appreciate, and I mean this so sincerely, I appreciate people like you that still do, because I've given up. And that sucks. I've actually given up. But I am.
And this is just one of those rare worlds where they've crossed paths.
But I'm
right?
talking about the average Joe. I don't give a crap about the politicians and what they're
doing.
Well,
then we're having two different conversations.
Yeah, we are.
Because I've brought up the.
No, we are. And I agree with you. And when I said 97%,
yeah.
I'm
well,
only
you're
concerned.
Right. I opened the can and said, give me the three.
Yeah, but you're right. I'm only concerned about the average Joe. I'm not concerned about what the politicians are doing. That's what you're concerned about. And that's what 97% should be concerned about. The 3% is the average Joe that couldn't watch the goddamn hockey game.
Or the Grey Cup game.
And
or the Jays game.
Okay.
Guy hasn't seen a Jays game in 15 years.
They haven't been in the playoffs in
They've been in the playoffs ever. They were just there in October, Lee.
Right. 8-0. You're right. Was that last year or the year before?
I don't remember. The blue that was 2 years ago. I think this year we just went out with a whimper. We never had it in control.
8-0.
That was when we pulled Berríos after like 2/3 of an inning and we're like, thank you.
Got all mad. Yeah. Anyway, I do care about the average Joe that should have a chance to watch a team late in the run if they're Canadian because they're paying money for the network. You want to talk about the politicians, and you're right about everything that you say.
Do you believe that taxpayers would have been happy had CBC spent $5 billion to make sure that that was their thing?
No.
All spring long,
absolutely
we will have
not.
All. Yeah. So
but I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the Final Four, and I'm talking
the
about the awards
in, right?
to promote your own goddamn station.
Well.
Seriously.
Have you been following our buddy Craig Baird and the favorite Canadian TV shows
of
all time?
No, tell me about it, because... I dare you right now, as a guy who's bringing up this argument, dare you to tell me one thing that happened at the Canadian Screen Awards and who won.
I did not watch the Canadian Screen Awards.
Tell me one thing.
I just told you I didn't watch it and I didn't
care. Nobody cares.
But lots of people care about the Oilers. You just admitted. Canada doesn't care about anybody else's team.
Yeah, but people want to watch a team that's in this country.
But last week we talked about Craig Baird and him starting this bracket.
the Canada's favorite TV shows, and you pulled it up at the time.
I'm going to look at it right now.
At the time,
don't let me be surprised.
Well, it's just there was a show I had totally forgotten about. Do you remember Kenny versus Svenny?
Yep,
that was awesome. They're moving on. I can't remember who they did. It was an awesome show.
It was so
you come home drunk and watch it at 1 a.m. or whatever.
Right?
Yeah,
so bad.
I don't know. There's been a few others, man, off the top of my head, but it's just fun to watch. More than anything else, to be like, oh, I remember that. Like, I vaguely remember, Little Mosque on the Prairie or whatever was going on.
So
there.
I tried to predict
the Final Four.
The Final Four.
We're still a ways out. We're still in round one, I believe. So, yeah, he's doing two polls a day. And we linked it in the show notes last week. We will do that again if you want to follow his account, because it's been kind of fun, if for nothing else. Then just Murdoch Mysteries popped up there a couple of days ago. It's been fun, man. I'm
trying to go through here and
I keep waiting to see.
He tweets so much.
He really does. He tweets a lot about everything else. He needed almost a different account.
Second to simmer.
Yeah. A lot of tweets. A lot of tweets. I keep waiting for my Road to Avonlea to pop up, but no sign of it yet, man.
Breaker,
it's going all the way.
Breaker High or History Bites?
I think I went History Bites, but I didn't know either one of those.
Well, it's close.
There was another one, though, it's escaping me right now, that got absolutely waxed. Oh, somebody went up against Corner Gas in round one, and it was like 92 to...
Oh, no.
Like, that is the epitome in March Madness of like a 116 where you just like, you got no shot. Right?
Yeah, Kenny versus Spenny, 82%.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of the show it went up against, Infoman.
Infoman, yeah, okay. I there was another one.
I've never heard of
this. Is Wonderland came up. Like you said, he tweets a lot, so it's hard to scroll all the way back through. But we'll link to his account. It's a fun follow because every day he is just tweeting out different facts about Canada. But this is something fun he's got going on right now with the favorite Canadian TV shows of
anyway,
of
Schitt's
all time.
Creek.
Yeah.
Kim's Convenience.
Were you a Corner Gas guy?
No.
No. Okay.
But I recognize
greatness.
That it
goat
was,
status.
That it was a show that a lot of people.
They had an animated series later on that.
This is Wonderland.
Yeah. Who were they up against again?
Corner Gas. It got 6%.
Yeah. Got just smashed. Just smashed.
Like that's obliterated.
You picture that in the real sports world and go, oh, we're drawing Corner Gas and around. Oh, fuck. Like,
okay. So he tweets a lot about Canadiana.
Yeah.
Are you cheering for Edmonton in the Stanley Cup final? There are 3,474 votes.
I'm going to say 74% said yes.
83.
Okay. I lowballed it. All right.
I'm telling you.
But I think, it sounds like you're cheering for them too.
I am.
But very, neither one of us because of the, bring it home for Canada,
no,
boys.
I'm not cheering for that.
No.
I'm cheering for the best player in the game.
Same. And I'm cheering for the 93 conversation to be over.
Which is fair. I'm sure the 93 season is a very difficult season for you to get over.
It's a high stick, Carey Fraser. It's a high stick, man.
I remember exactly where I was when Wendell Clark scored with the goalie pulled to send game six to overtime.
Panned out well, right?
No.
No. No.
But one of Bob Cole's greatest
fucking
calls.
Carey Fraser.
He missed it.
He sure did.
He just missed it. It was a tough one. Should have killed the penalty.
Gonna kill Lee and wrap up this episode of the podcast. I think.
Kill Felix Potman.
Yeah,
I always love watching those videos though. Those VHS videos that Lee's put out of almost getting to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Make those dollars, man.
2 years in a row.
Make that money.
They put out VHS tapes of almost getting to the Stanley Cup Final.
It's so funny
Incredible.
To me. I remember I had Down Goes Brown on the show here a couple of years ago. Asked him.
He's a good dude.
And a big Leaf guy.
He is much funnier in writing than he is in person.
Okay.
seriously. No, honestly, he's one of the driest guys ever.
Don't you find that a lot? And not even necessarily with humor.
I love that guy. He's such a 100%. Wonderful human being.
Yeah.
But he is
And he's been on this show a few times.
He is so funny
when
he writes. And I get him in person and I tell other people, I'm like, wait till you meet John. Like,
right.
Wait till you meet this guy. And he's like an accountant sitting at the table.
Right.
I'm like,
but haven't you found that you've been doing the sports interview thing a long time.
Yeah.
How many writers have you had on where you're like, that guy's brilliant, that guy's a ton of personality, that guy's hilarious, and when you speak to them, you're like, oh.
You're better in writing.
Yeah. Other than Don Brennan, nobody.
Okay. That's never happened to you, eh?
Don Brennan is probably more than he is in this writing. But you're right. That
overwhelmingly, they're better writers than talkers is usually how that plays out.
And that's why they do that.
That's why they do that and do doing it very well. Living.
Yeah.
100%.
He is so funny when he writes. It's down goes Brown.
100%, man. Love him.
He is fantastic.
And he'll come on here and help me untangle my feelings about the Leafs every now and then. And
yeah, he can be a soothing voice for you.
Yeah.
He won't be able to...
He's not going to fix
it. Make you laugh in person, okay. But he can do it when he writes a couple things down.
Yeah. I think we've talked for a while. We've never actually pulled the trigger and got it done. He's pretty tight with our buddy Ian Mendez.
Yeah.
But getting the two of them in together, and I don't know, reminiscing about Ian's wedding, or I think DGB was the best man there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So
they are pretty tight. I've been lucky enough to be a part of that group. Matt Charbonneau's a teacher that is part of that group as well, and he's, again, much funnier in writing than he is in person. You ever met the corniest guy in the world that all he does is make the corniest jokes, and you're like, dude, what are you doing? but it's hard because he's like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Like literally the nicest person in the world. And you're like, could you just stop talking?
I have met people who make me say that. For leave or save, my name is Matt Robinson.
And we're going to end there.
We'll just leave it hanging. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the podcast. We're on social media at Talkan Audio. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're hearing us right now. And we'll wrap this one up. It's been up and down, man.
No, it's been good. Yeah. You know what? You're, again, 97% right. I'm going to take the 3%, but I do understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
I'm gonna
live with that.
And
we traded some rights and wrongs in the first half of the show.
Yep.
You gave me a little credit. You gave me a little shit. That's fine. That's how this should go.
Exactly. You don't like getting shit, though, do you?
No. I'm pretty sure I'm usually right. So
or giver.
Anything that...
Giver, not a taker.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, man. Episode 1327 of Tall Can Audio in the books. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for showing up. It was fucking amazing. Sorry.